Puebla Lorac will call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is now 2:01 p.m. Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. Producing a quorum, we have with us Representative McKay, Representative Fields, Representative Cronk, Representative Gillum, Representative Hannon, Representative Rauscher, myself, Representative Putkuduk. Representative Shragi is expected to join us momentarily. I'd like to say thank you to our recording secretary, Robin, our LIO moderator, Alex, over here. Please silence your cell phones, put them up on a notepad so we don't have to hear it. And I'd like to recognize the Honorable Laddie Shaw joining us carrying House Bill 148 today. It is House Bill, not a concurrent resolution. I had to double check there. And that's the first thing on our agenda. It's our first hearing. As mentioned last meeting, it's a pretty straightforward piece of legislation from what I understand, and the hope was to try to move it out today if it's the will of the committee. We also have House Concurrent Resolution Number 2, which is supporting ocean clusters by Representative Stutes. With that, we'll roll right into House Bill 148. Representative Shaw and Reese Williams, if you guys are here to walk us through what this does. We also have invited testimony on the line with Gwen Gervellis and Jake Maxwell, and we'll roll into public testimony after that. Representative Laddie Shaw, if you could put your name on the record and have your staff do the same and walk us through this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I be allowed to lower my mask to speak?
You may.
Okay, thank you. A lot easier to talk. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Laddie Shaw. I represent District 26, Lower Hillside, Anchorage. The sponsored statement for House Bill 148 revises the Alaska Statute Chapter 38.20, known as the Alaska Coordinate System, to reflect changes in the federal datum used as a base for a coordinate system and to allow for future updates. The system is comprised of rectangular plane coordinates used to define accurate positions or locations of points on the surface of the Earth. This is an important and practical step for Alaska to adapt in this coordination system. Alaska will have the advantage of improvements in the geodetic positioning and with the new gravity-based elevation. This will dramatically improve the ability to measure elevations in Alaska. Very important to whalers. This will put the whaling community right on site, and you will never get lost. Modern-day technology and the triangulation of satellites, not only will they help you find the whale, they will help you get back with the whale. The very important feature.
Thank you for pointing out my conflicting interest and maybe reasoning for my bias for this bill.
And I knew that would come up eventually. I would like to do the sectional analysis off to Reese Williams, if I could, please.
Mr. Williams.
For the record, Reese Williams, staff representative Laddie Shaw. Thank you, Chair Pakotuk and members of the committee. Would you like me to go through the sectional analysis?
I think it would be fair if we're intending to move it out today.
One moment, please.
Briefly go over the sectional analysis.
Section 1 amends AS 3820.010 to add a reference to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022. Section 2 repeals and reenacts AS 3820020 to remove references to the 10 different zones currently listed in the statute and states that the zone parameters of the Alaska Coordinate System are now the zone parameters defined by the NGS. Removing specific parameters ensures legislation will be accurate according to past, current, and future datums. Section 3 amends AS 38.20030 to add a reference to the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022 zone for purposes of drafting land descriptions that use coordinate systems. Section 4 amends AS 38.20.040 to add two references to the U.S. Survey and one reference to the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022. Also added is an explanation that one U.S. survey foot means a quotient of 1,200 and 3,937 meters. I'd also like to note that today our office was made aware there's some language inconsistencies. We have a testifier online who can speak to that. I believe this section might have to be amended through the committee. Section 5 repeals and reenacts AS 38.20060 to remove the reference to and descriptions of that 10 different zones currently listed in the statute, and instead states that the characteristics of the zones of the Alaska coordinate system are defined by the NGS. Removing specific zone descriptions ensures legislation will be accurate and relevant under past, current, and future datums. Section 6 amends AS 38.20090 to add a new subsection, C, stating that the use of the term Alaska Coordinate System of 2022 on a map, report of the survey, or other document is limited to coordinates based on the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022. Section 7 amends AS 38.20.100 to add a reference to the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022. And Section 8 amends AS 38.20110 to add a reference to the Alaska Coordinate System of 2022. I remain available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Let the record reflect that Representative Shragi has joined us at 2:07 p.m. Are there any questions? Representative Rauscher.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. To the chair, I appreciate your presentation. I appreciate somewhere back on page 2, I thought I heard someone, your description, and in your description said, needs to be amended in committee. Did I hear that correct?
Yes. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I was referring to Section 4, I believe. Today, our office found out that some of the language in the bill may have relied on some statutes that are outdated. And currently, we should have a testifier online, the name of Lendl Story, who can speak to that a little further. And we're working with Ledge Legal to try to get those accurate right now.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. And we'll look to that portion of public or invited testimony to try to get some of that clarified. Are there further questions from the committee? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your name is escaped. First name is Reese.
Williams.
Williams, thank you. Mr. Reese. Mr. Williams, or Representative Shaw. So the bill uses National Geodetic Survey. Zone parameters, so I'm on Section 2, page 1. Zone parameters are defined by the National Geodetic Survey maintained by NOAA. And since some of the language in the bill is talking about the fact that other surveys have changed, I want to know a little bit about the National Geodetic Survey, whether it's done decennially, whether their definitions change, whether that's, you know, is it a variable 10 years down the road, or is it a static set of data that NOAA always uses?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, we also have Gwen Gervais online, and she can help me follow up. But to answer that question, so the datum is a set of data collected, and usually a new one is introduced only when enough data has been collected. So I believe the last one was 1988. And so the current one, 2022, NOAA will release it. It hasn't come out yet. It's released when enough new information has been collected. And I believe the next one's expected 50 years after the 2022 one. So, and then Gwen can probably answer if you have a follow-up to that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. Seeing no further questions, we'll go to our first person to speak under invited testimony, Gwen Gervais. If you could please put your name on the record and provide your comments.
For the record, my name is Gwen Gervais. I'm the Chief Surveyor for the Department of Natural Resources. This is pretty straightforward legislation. We are just updating the datum to match what the new datum that's coming out from NGS. It's going to be a huge difference for Alaska. The previous datum, we had a vertical and a horizontal datum. As was mentioned, 1988 was the vertical datum. 1983 was a horizontal datum. If you think back to what was happening in 1983, the Macintosh computer came out in 84. The GPS, the global positioning systems that we all call GPS nowadays and use on a regular basis was just still an idea. So a lot has changed since then. So with all the new space-based measurements that the National Geodetic Survey can do or has done for the past few decades, they've been able to create a better map of the U.S. And this is what they're using for the new datum. So it's going to be a huge difference for Alaska, especially with the new gravity-based vertical datum.
Thank you, Ms. Dravelis. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just because she's an expert and it sounds like something I should understand, tell me why this gravity-based data is so inspiring to you, because it's not something I know anything about. So give me a little more insight and just understanding what gravity-based data is going to, why it's different.
Representative, through the chair. This allows, the gravity-based allowed the NGS to fly low-altitude gravity over Alaska and collect gravity through the entire state. And I think they're finishing off the Aleutians at the end of May, beginning of June, and then they'll have the entire state collected. Normally, the elevation data is carried on the ground by foot and through turning angles and measuring elevations and carrying that through. And as you know, Alaska doesn't have a lot of road systems. So the data that they've had in Alaska is relatively sparse. And a lot of the communities throughout Alaska, especially along the coast, have local vertical datums that don't relate to anything. So by using a gravity-based elevation model, we can bring all that together so everything in the state's going to line up a lot better. It's going to be better for any kind of flood mapping or any kind of inundation, tsunami planning, lots of different things.
Follow up, Representative Hannon.
Thank you. One more, and I'm really showing my ignorance because, so I think of gravity as just being an equal force. But is it, it's a variable force, or it's just that because you've got a gravity, you've got one more factor in the measurement of the geography, of, in essence, the geometry that gives you the geography because you've now got another level of, another data point.
Representative, through the chair, gravity actually comes in waves, like light.
Okay.
Light waves. But it's also definitely dependent on what's underground. So obviously, if you have an iron-rich mountain, it's going to have a lot more gravity than more tundra area. So it definitely changes how the gravity fits in those areas.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's always those points where I go, I am so thankful I am not having to keep up with modern science, and you're the example of why math matters and STEM education matters. Thank you for translating that to the common vernacular so I could understand it.
Thank you, Representative Hannon and Mr. Velas. Before we go on to our next person to speak on House Bill 148, I just want to note, too, that potentially the efforts of trying to get this bill through the process might suggest perhaps a floor amendment for that section that needs to be amended to conform to making it right, I guess, understanding that it's not something potentially, that we're going to butt heads over. With that, we'll turn the floor over to Jake Maxwell with the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors.
Thank you. Chair, my name is Jake Maxwell. I serve on the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors Board, as well as the Alaska Professional Design Council. And I'm here today testifying our support for House Bill 148. Thank you for your time and your support.
Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. Representative Shaw, it's to my understanding you have a video to help edify the point here. Mr. Williams, if you'd like to give us an understanding of it, and then play the video.
Through the chair, Representative Pakotuk. Yeah, this is just kind of an overview. You know, if anyone had any or just didn't really understand what a geodetic datum is, this video is pretty helpful for that. It kind of underlies the importance of what it's for and what it can be used for. It's about 4 minutes if the committee would like us to play it.
Please do. Thank you. Buffer.
Augmented with data and models that use today's state-of-the-art technology. Advances in science and technology, like the Global Positioning System, or GPS, let us build models and tools with greater precision and accuracy than was possible in the past. The North American datum of 1983, called NAD83, is the horizontal datum for the United States. NAD83 is based on a set of approximately 250,000 points. These points have positions that are determined both through the extensive triangulation network established over decades and newer GPS observations. All of these points were constrained to a geocentric origin, specifically the center of an ellipsoid model, which is a commonly used mathematical figure approximating the shape of the Earth. With the help of more recent satellite-based observations, we now know that NAD83 is misaligned to the most modern definitions of latitude and longitude by over 2 meters. Our ability to detect this misalignment comes from the current, more accurate understanding of the true center of the Earth. This offset causes many inconsistencies in mapping products referenced to NAD83 versus the datum based on the true center of the Earth. Looking at the vertical reference frame, the North American vertical datum of 1988, or NAVD88, is based on an extensive network of leveling observations from across the country. To make the network of observations internally consistent, one value was held constant, the local mean sea level value at Father Point, Rimouski, Quebec, Canada. Every leveling observation includes some random observational error, as well as theoretical errors. While this averages out to less than half a millimeter per mile, these errors actually accumulate to a total error of more than 1 meter between Miami, Florida and Seattle, Washington. Additionally, the NAD... ...83 position and the NAVD88 elevations are inconsistent with the more accurate, up-to-date models that have evolved with advances in technology. These up-to-date models allow us to create a more accurate reference frame than the surveying methods and tools used in the past. Because we still need to use NAD83 positions and the NAVD88 elevations today, we have to artificially alter the updated models to fit with the existing reference systems. Much of the NAD83 and NAVD88 reference systems rely on marks in the ground that you must be able to physically access. Unfortunately, this physical infrastructure deteriorates over time. Marks often get disturbed. Sometimes this is accidental, as when landowners inadvertently destroy a mark on their property. Other times, marks are destroyed when roads are rebuilt or widened. Marks are intended to be very stable, so we attach them to the earth as permanently as possible. However, physical events like frost heaves or subsidence can move a mark if it is not attached to something more stable, like a deep bedrock structure. Any motion of a mark requires that coordinates be updated over time, an expensive and time-consuming task. We do have strategies for replacing marks that are about to be disturbed or destroyed, but it takes time and effort. It would be prohibitively expensive to duplicate the level of physical effort and labor used to create our current datums. To address the problems with the physical infrastructure of our current datum and to integrate information from the most current technology, NOAA's National Geodetic Survey plans to establish new datums to replace NAV83 and NAV88.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams and Representative Shaw, for preparing that. Before we go into public testimony, just want to check and make sure there aren't any clarifying questions for the professionals online. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. I was just trying to understand. There's not a fiscal note involved. We're going to move to a different technology, I understand. And that's the only way I can describe it. But why does it concern us that we have to be able to approve it? I'm trying to understand that part of it, since there's no fiscal note at all attached to this.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, the reason is because it was initially brought into statute. So in order to be able to update it, we have to update that to be concurrent with the federal datum. And Gwen can probably speak to why, you know, there is no fiscal note. But the reason initially is that it's in statute now, and if we don't update the statute, we don't qualify for the new datum.
Mr. Javelis, if you can elaborate on that a little bit.
Representative, through the chair, this is so that all of the state agencies can use the same datum.
Through.
So that makes it easier.
And can you speak to the absence of a fiscal note, please?
We don't believe there would be any cost to everybody using the same datum.
Easy enough. Thank you. Representative Rauscher, follow up.
A little follow up there. I guess everybody already has this process, and now we're just asking for permission to use it. I'm trying to understand it.
Representative, through the chair. This allows everybody to be on the same page. If we don't have this legislation in place, then the state agencies won't be able to use the new datum.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rose. Representative Fields.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I guess just interested in the history. So in the early 80s, the federal government just made a decision to do this massive surveying exercise. Is that kind of the history, or?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, I believe this started basically early 1800s. It sounds like there was kind of a big mapping event throughout the U.S. that at the time the administration put out, and it's just been updated continually.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Representative Shragi.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. Following up on Representative Rauscher's lines of questioning, just trying to understand myself, it sounds like this is the federal government's data, and they kind of make it available for free to states and other entities for more accurate mapping and surveying, and this just simply allows, right now in statute, we have reference to the old data, and this simply updates that so that we can use that newer, again, still free data as a state. Is that kind of a correct summary of what this does?
Mr. Velas.
Representative, through the chair, that's correct. All of the other states have this in their statutes as well, and NGS recognized that all of them will have to make these changes. To date, only Kentucky and Washington have made this change, but this legislation is going through many other states at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Villas. Follow-up, Representative Froggy.
Oh, just kind of makes me think of when we used to use encyclopedias, and you maybe had the 1990 version, and then they updated in 1995, and you're just using the newer book now.
Or the Mason's rules.
Or the Mason's.
Thank you, Representative Froggy. With that, we'll go into public testimony. Public testimony is now open on House Bill 148. We've got two people on the line. Can you clarify that, Alex? We'll give you both a few minutes to provide your public testimony, and we'll start with Mr. Len Story. If you could please put your name on the record and provide your comments.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, for the record, my name is Len Story. I'm representing the American Council of Engineering Companies, which is also an affiliate of the Alaska Professional Design Council. I'm also a member of the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors and the National Society of Professional Surveyors. I've been surveying in Alaska now for 42 years, and I apologize for not getting this information in earlier, but I think it's important in on page 2, section 4, just to have a couple technical corrections. The other thing with moving to the new 2022 datum, we're also moving to a new foot measurement. There's two different foot measurements out there. There's the U.S. survey foot, and then there's the international foot. The NGS is processing all the data and reporting positions in international feet. If we don't put international feet in this bill, then we won't be able to get the reported positions in international feet from the NGS. So I think that's an important addition to this bill. And then on line 17, where it talks about the North American Horizontal Geodetic Control Network, that no longer exists. Currently, it's the National Spatial Reference System.
Thank you, Mr. Story. I see Representative Shaw and Mr. Williams nodding in agreement that they'll work with you to get the correct applicable language to potentially introduce it on the floor so that we can get up to date with this thing, considering that we're a few weeks out from adjourning, hopefully. With that, we'll go to Jeremy Hurst next. Please put your name on the record and provide your two-minute public testimony.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Hurst. I am the past president of the ASPLS and a practicing land surveyor in Alaska. I just want to voice my support for HB 148, and I recognize the suggested amendments by Mr. Story are appropriate, and I want to thank everyone else for their support on this as well. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. With that, Alex, can you clarify there's no one else online? All right. We'll gavel out of public testimony. Back on the regular record, is there further questions, comments from committee members before we look to the will? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess this is in relation to the technical changes, and since this is really a bill about technical specificity, we want to get it right. Mr. Story's comments about using international feet versus U.S. survey foot, and is it that the U.S. survey will no longer be mentioned at all, and it's international feet that we will use, or do you know, or we're waiting for those corrections, just so that I'm making note of when we get to a floor vote that we've got the right amendments doing the right things?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, I don't know the answer to that. I'm working with the legal department right now on trying to get those changes and try to clarify them. I do know that the National Spatial Reference System replaced, I believe it's the National Geodetic System, don't quite remember on there. But that is no longer relevant. So the feet I can't speak to, but the other amendment I can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Further questions, comments from committee members? Seeing or hearing none, what is the will of the committee, Representative Rauscher?
Mr. Chair, HB 148, I move the House Bill HB 148, Work Order 32-LS0407/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. And I'll object to give an opportunity for Representative Shaw to provide some closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Closing comments are pretty straightforward. What it does is this improves the zone locations. It'll cover populations and resource areas. It'll give us a new statewide zone that will be created for Alaska. Considering our lack of road system, this is a huge benefit to the state of Alaska. What it'll do, it'll reduce the distortion of the current projection currently in use and improve the display of statewide geographic data. And Mr. Chairman, as much as anything, considering that this is a gravity-based measurement and using the ellipsoid height datum, it allows me to add 4 centimeters to my height. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Now I know the reason that you're pushing this so hard. With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection from the committee? Seeing or hearing none, House Bill 138 moves from committee. It'll head to the Rules Committee next for scheduling on the floor. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the CR. Back on the record, next we got House Concurrent Resolution Number 2. This is the second hearing of said piece of legislation. We have with us Ms. Perman to help walk us through maybe some of the follow-up questions that we had last time and provide any new information that she can to help us understand what this does. And online to help with some of those questions, I believe we've got Mr. Sternberg again. Ms. Perman, the floor is yours. Please introduce yourself and provide us with what you've learned, what we're going to learn from the last meeting.
Sure. Through the chair, my name is Sarah Perman, legislative aide to Speaker Stutes. Just a really quick brief re-summary, since I know we have one new member with us since Monday. Just this is a resolution which acknowledges Alaska's unique position as a leader in the ocean economy of the world, which is set to double to 3 billion by 2030, that it acknowledges our unique position in the industries that we already support, which is anything from marine transportation, offshore oil and gas exploration, fishing, transportation, et cetera, and then acknowledges that we have the capacity to grow in areas like mariculture, renewable energies, et cetera, that are all ocean-based. And it acknowledges that the Alaska Ocean Cluster is doing just that, and that we would offer our support and just say, you know, thumbs up, we like what you're doing for the Ocean Cluster. The Ocean Cluster essentially is a hub which promotes entrepreneurs and new businesses, specifically ocean-related businesses, by helping them get the resources they need, whether that's funding, whether that's technology, whether that's, developing their executive team or their business model, and grow those from ideas, business ideas, into full-fledged businesses. And this resolution would essentially act as a letter of support. They receive a significant portion of their funding right now from federal grants, so this is a tool for them to have in their backpack to say, look, we have the state support for what we do. It's also worth noting, I think since we talked last, I had an interesting follow-up conversation with Justin Sternberg, who's with us today, the program director at Alaska Ocean Cluster, just a little bit more about funding. And I just told you that a massive portion of their funding right now is in federal grants. But the way the clusters work, they develop these businesses from ideas into larger, fully-fledged businesses. And there are several different funding models, but one is an equity share, where they develop a share in these businesses, to which goes to fund them over time. So while they are relying somewhat heavily on federal grants at this point, at this early stage, they would find themselves further on a self-sustaining funding model. So, a little bit more, I just wanted to take a few minutes. I think that following the conversation on Monday, I realized maybe it's good to just sort of step back and have a little bit of a conversation about the ideation model and what goes into startups a lot of times. Please feel free to stop me if I'm being redundant or if this is pretty clear already. But I think one of the more recently embraced models of starting up businesses and developing is doing what we call ideation. You will work with existing industry, existing government, existing public and private partnerships, whether that's a university, et cetera, to say, what are the issues that are out here and what can we do to create something to address that? So you'll get groups in these think tanks, et cetera, what we call incubators in some case, and they ideate businesses that, or just technology, et cetera, that can address these issues. And then from that point on, they work with groups like the Alaska Ocean Cluster to say, okay, we have come up with an idea of how to fix it, but we don't know where to get funding. We don't necessarily have an executive team. We need help building out our business model. They'll work with this umbrella organization of the Alaska Ocean Cluster, or you know, in the case of other areas in Anchorage, there's Launch Alaska as a group that does this. The boardroom sort of serves as the same. It offers these groups, these small entrepreneurial businesses, the resources, whether it's somebody who knows about writing business plans or it's somebody who can connect them with capital. These startups have access to that through an organization like the Alaska Ocean Cluster, who offer expertise in all of those areas, or, you know, potentially networking to get to that expertise. So while the Alaska Ocean Cluster itself may not be, you know, we are not the, sorry, speaking for as if I was the Alaska Cluster, I would say we are not necessarily the purveyors of this new biotechnology. However, we are helping this company, which is now part of our, you know, we have taken them under our wings, and we are helping them find the funding they need to get off the ground and then go and be a fully fledged organization. So acknowledging that kind of concept of ideation of startups moving into larger scaled businesses, I think the reason that this is so critical and that we have organizations like Launch Alaska, the Boardroom, the Alaska Ocean Cluster, is because we acknowledge that, you know, to move from where we are now to continue to grow our economy, we need to rely so heavily on entrepreneurialism, excuse me, that's a difficult one, and really generating new business growth. And that can be from anything from a small 1 to 2 person business to something, you know, as large as our large scale producers in town. But we have to have the support to keep those businesses here rather than go out of state. And we need to have something to encourage them to grow and develop here. So that's essentially what Alaska Ocean Cluster offers here within the state. And like I said, particularly the ocean economy, what we call the blue economy, is poised to grow to double by 2030. So it only makes sense to try to get a slice of that pie ourselves and really develop and bolster our ocean economy. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any further committee questions in regards to HCR2? Seeing or hearing none, we'll go to Mr. Sternberg, if you'd like to say anything in regards to the discussion that we've had over this meeting and the last.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for inviting me to be here again today. It was a pleasure to testify and answer questions for you on Monday. And just happy to do so if there's any remaining questions that you have about either what the Ocean Cluster does or what the impact is. Please let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Sternberg. Further committee questions, discussions, anything? Well, seeing or hearing none, we'll look to the will of the committee. Representative Rauscher.
Well, I move House Concurrent Resolution Number 2, Work Order 32-LS0496-A from committee with individual recommendations and attached 0 fiscal note.
Seeing or hearing no objection, it has moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee report. Back on the record, just to close out, so don't think that I was banging the gavel extra hard for any reason in particular. I enjoy the small talk. It's looking like our Friday meeting would be canceled. I've got to travel home. Representative Hopkins is out. to attend a funeral. I've got to travel home to attend a funeral. Representative Hopkins is enjoying the birth of his new baby. Don't confuse that. And potentially the Monday meeting might be canceled also, but we'll be working with you guys to communicate that point. And with that, we'll call this meeting adjourned at 2:46 p.m.